All you got to do is make a decision to let it go. Lord, I don't need that anymore. That is not doing me any good. I got to quit saying them things because it's just coming back on me. Oh, there's so many things that God can show His power. If you're sick this morning, His power is here to heal you. If you're all hung up in bad stuff going on, He has the power to break it off your life. If you got addictions and bondages and habits and all that kind of thing, He has the power available to release you from it today. And if you're not born again, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, today Jesus Christ is here among you by His Spirit to show you that He is the way, the truth, and the life, and He will save you today if you're not saved. His power is unlimited. The only thing that limits His power is us and what He wants to do in our lives. That's the good news. Okay, this is from Zephaniah. If you don't know where Zephaniah is, it's on page 835. Tom can pull that up to help some of you. It's just two books back from the New Testament. So if you have your Bibles, though, there's some things that you can mark in your Bible that'll be very helpful sometimes to help us to understand some things about who God is. And this scripture is wonderful. There are several things in this verse that I'd like to bring out. The Lord your God. You remember a couple weeks ago when we had communion, I talked about the Lord is my shepherd and how prophetic that is of everyone. Everyone has a Lord of some sort. They worship somebody, sometimes themselves. But everyone has, whether you realize it or not, are under the authority of someone. But this says, the Lord your God in the midst of you is mighty. And when Tom talked about all of us as believers individually, the Holy Spirit dwells in us as believers. We become a temple for the Lord. The Bible says a temple not made with hands. And so individually, everywhere we go, we bring His presence with us. His Spirit is in us. It reflects His countenance, His character, His nature. That's why it's not good to stomp Christmas lights if Priscilla's driving by, because that's not good. But collectively, like when we all come together, whether it's here or in each other's homes, there is a presence of the Lord that's mighty and powerful among us. And particularly, though, when we come together one day of the week for the purpose of worshiping Him, celebrating His goodness, studying the Word together. We have praise and worship and time of prayer during this time. But the fact that He's mighty among us, it's very powerful, because when I opened this morning and I said, if you came and there's sickness that you're dealing with, the fact that He's mighty among us is that there is nothing that He cannot do for you. He doesn't have a power failure. You know, it's like if Tom or if I snuck over there and I unplugged that light, he'd still glow. Okay, and so do you. But corporately, there's power when God is present among us, because He cares about each one of you. He knows the things that maybe are stressing you or things that you're dealing with. If you need a job, my goodness, He knows just the next place you're going to be. He knows all of those things about your life. He knows your needs. And He's mighty in the fact that He never does a small thing. It's not small when God's in it. And I always remember that one with God is a majority. You and God hook up, your life will be a powerful life, a powerful witness. And it says He will save. If you're not saved, He will save you if you want to be. And that's always the option. I used to run Christians away because they told me I needed Jesus. And I says, nope, just give me my bag of dope and let me go on the beach. I'm good. I don't need Jesus. So we don't want to ever be a church where we stop talking about salvation. that we stop talking about grace and we try to hide it, because we're not going to. That's why Jesus came, to seek and to save the lost. And so, you know, there's been people that sat in churches for years and they went out just the same way they came in. It's like I could sit in my garage for an eternity, but it would never make me a car. Even of my choice. I'd like a Rolls, you know. But I'll settle for my heavenly chariot. So he will save. Here's something you don't hear too often about the Lord. He will rejoice over you with joy. Is that awesome or what? How many times have I heard people tell you how mean God is? How bad God is. Why should we believe in God? If God is so good, why do all these terrible things happen on the earth? Well, because terrible people do terrible things to good people sometimes. And God gave every person a free will. However, one day, if they don't repent of their evil work, they're going to be called to give an account and stand before God one day. But he rejoices over you with joy. That is awesome. So, when you're having a bad day and you want to have a pity party, think about how the Lord sees you. And how can you, now that you hear this and now that you've seen it, now you're reading it, guess what? Now it's down in here. Guess what? Now you're responsible for it. What are you going to do with that? The God rejoices over you with joy. He will rest in his love. That means with God it's settled. He's got you. He got the pearl of great price. You're the prize. You're the pearl. And he rests in that. He doesn't strive to save anyone. Jesus already came, and salvation has been provided for everyone through the cross. And all the gifts, the blessing, the favor of God came with it. So God is resting in a sense. He's resting in his love for you. His love has been established. It's been planted. It's been imparted. And now he's at rest. And we should be at rest. We shouldn't be people that are constantly in turmoil and not having any peace. Because what the Lord is, he's made a deposit inside of each one of us as believers. So there's rest there. There's peace there. And the next part of that, he will joy over you with singing. I wonder what God's song is that he sings over you. Did that spark a question? I'll bet he just sings that, I love you. You're my beloveds. You're my precious ones. I chose you. I adopted you. I ordained you. I called you. I empowered you. You're mine. You belong to me. I've already paid for you. I redeemed you. And I don't know what the melody of that song would be, but I'm sure that God would never say anything contrary to what he's already spoken. And it would always be good, because the Bible says that God is for us, not against us. And it also says, if God be for us, who can stand against us? So in that one little tiny verse, it gives you just one small place where you kind of get a different perspective, maybe about what God is really like.
The voice of joy, and the voice of gladness, the voice of the bridegroom, and the voice of the bride, the voice of them that shall say, praise the Lord of hosts, for the Lord is good, and his mercy endureth forever. And of them shall bring his sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
I don't want to miss an opportunity this morning. Everything just seems to be coming to the point where we need to pray. And I'm thinking about the opening scriptures this morning about how mighty God is in our midst. But also, I'm sensing that somebody's really discouraged this morning about something. I don't know what, but I just am picking that up. But in light of the word and the praise, the invitation by the Lord to be among us and do some mighty things. It might be a small thing to you, but it's mighty with Him. If you have prayer needs, let's just do that. You know, we're quick to move on a dime sometimes as a church, but I'm really sensing that now is the time. You've waited all morning. Maybe some of you have waited all week. I don't know. But if you need prayer, if you need to be encouraged in the Lord, if you need rest and you've been stressed, I don't know. You tell me. If you want prayer, come on up. And we'll pray together with you.